listener. When life gives you lemons, he'll turn them sassy, not sour.
What? Who wrote this script?
Strap yourself in. It's complete drivel.
Or is it drivel?
It's f***ing drivel.
It's complete drivel with Christian Hull.
Sure is.
What is it now? What now? My body. I mean, I don't treat it like a temple, so no wonder it just shuts down. I'm still waiting on my colonoscopy results. I had my knee surgery. I had, you know, an infectious disease recently, and 3 weeks post ACL surgery, everything was going well. And I've just, literally the last few days, just had the worst fever that I've ever had, ever. Like, violently shaking. And it wasn't funny. It's funny to look back at last night, but I was violently shaking to a point where it was hurting my knee. I was so cold. I was shaking. I was like, ah! And it was shaking my fucking new ACL knee joint. And it was, oh my God, that was excruciating. I was like, I can't stop shaking. I was like, ah, the pain. I'm in so much pain in my knee. And then I just stood in the shower under searing hot, boiling water to try to stop shaking. And I'd woken up in a pool of sweat. Oh, it was fucking disgusting. I've never woken up in a pool, like a physical pool. It looked like I had pissed the bed. My pillow was drenched. The covers were soaked. And what was hard about it was that when you're like, oh my God, I'm sleeping in a pool of water. Ugh, so gross. Was that when I like put the fan on to try and like dry myself out, oh my God, back to shaking. I was like, oh, it's so cold. Oh, it's so cold. I'm like, what's going on? Why is my body so bad? What have I done to deserve this? I have given my body all the sugar that it's wanted, all the salt, all the fat. I've spoilt it with treats. And this is how it repays me? How dare it? Anyways, I'm feeling like absolute fucking death. Which is how I feel every time I record these, because I'm about to turn 30. About to turn 36. I don't know how I'm going to go. Oh, God. Like, usually, like, I pretend that I'm, like, fine. I'm like, oh, what's an age? Like, I'm usually fine with it. I make a big deal because it's funny to make a big deal about turning 35. Like, 35 is still so young. 36, late 30s, soon to be 40. But what have I done with my life? I've done a lot, actually. Thank you. How dare you? I've done a lot. He says as he sits in his house sipping on some tea, talking to himself into a microphone. Today's podcast episode, someone sent me a link and it is travel scams, 14 major travel scams to avoid. And I wanted to go through them because I have been scammed a lot while traveling, and I want to see how many of the 14 scams Christian Hull has fallen victim to. My theory is 6 of the 14. All right, let's read out. I did a Europe trip and I was really excited. When you go on holiday, you're just naturally really like relaxed, and I just was very trusting of everyone, and I caused myself and my brothers to be scammed multiple times and lose a lot of money because I was very trusting. The number one is the taxi overcharge. Yep, I've fallen victim to that. This is one of the most common travel scams out there. Either the driver will tell you the meter is broken, that's exactly what happened, and try to charge you a huge rate, yes, or you'll see the meter go higher and faster than usual. Here's how to avoid this scam. You need to know how much a ride should cost. Well, how the fuck do you know that when you don't live in the country? Oh, it says here, ask. Yeah, but we were going from the airport. There was no hotel staff to ask. If the cabbie tries to negotiate the rate with you, offer him the correct rate. If he refuses, find someone who will put the meter on. Oh, my God, that was just... That was devastating. When we got in a cab, 10 minutes, and it was like 200 euros, which is like $400. For 10 fucking minutes. I mean, that's the first rule. Don't look at a man in a suit who says he'll give you a ride. Literally, we walked out of the airport. He's like, ah, taxi for you and the group? I was like, yes, please. Oh, that's quick. We didn't have to wait. Get into this beautiful-looking black van. Suitcases go in. Off we go. We pull up. He's like, that's 200 euros. Sorry, what? Where's your meter? No, I don't have a meter. It's 200 euros. I'm not getting the bags out of the car until you give me 200 cash. I'm like, we don't have fucking 200 cash. Where's your tap and go thing? Don't have it. So we had to go and find an ATM. Anyways, number two. This one's called Your Accommodation is Closed. This is another cab driver related scam. In this scam, your driver will tell you your hotel is overbooked or even closed. It's not. I mean, you wouldn't have booked it if it was, right? Just ignore them and insist on going there. If they keep trying, continue to insist. They will usually just shut up about it. And while this seems like a scam no one could possibly fall for, people do. Oh, I would. Oh, is it shut down? My accommodation is shut down? Oh, my God. Thank you for telling me. I would have been stranded. That's what I would do. God, the people around here are so friendly. Take me to this. Oh, my God, this accommodation run by your friend. Yes, really expensive, and it's just a sheet on the ground, but thank you. I would have been stranded otherwise. Fucking, I could see myself falling for that. The author of this article says, I've been in many cabs where they insist my hostel has been closed for months. There's a little addendum here on the taxi situation. It says, in this smartphone era, we have our power back. We're no longer helpless because we can look on a map and see the actual correct route. Yes, correct. I like to look on Google Maps and see what the best route is. If it looks like they aren't taking it, I usually point to the map and insist they go that way. Oh, see, that's too much confrontation for me. I've been stung before in Sydney, where I grew up. Yeah, I'm just going to a hotel. And I knew Sydney so well. I'm like, where the fuck are we at Homebush? That's nowhere near the city. Oh, that's $120 cab fare? Okay, mate. I fucking paid it. I didn't say anything. I just don't like confrontation. Okay, number three. It's called the shell game. It's an old and obvious scam. It's in movies. You'll see people on the street playing a card game. I saw this on London Bridge. Or hiding a ball in a cup, someone guessing where it is and winning money. Then you decide to play and you win, thinking this is great. You bet more money and then you lose. And then you lose again and again. Yeah, it's all a con. When we were in London, there was there's all the people out on the bridge doing this card thing. And you just look at it and you go, this is such an obvious scam. Like, there's about seven people set up on the ground just with, like, a box and some mats, and they do the card and they have someone playing who wins all the time. They give cash, then they win all this cash. Then they give a little bit more and then they win. They're constantly winning. And then someone goes, oh, I'll play. And then they play and they lose. Well, the person winning is in on the fucking scam. But you can tell because they're all fat. They're all like one family. And they all look the same. I got out my camera and started filming because I was doing a lot of Snapchat stories. This is in 2015. And my brother was like, Christian, you can't film. I was like, what? Of course I can. Why can't I film? They're in a public place. Not realizing that they like stab you. You're not allowed to film it because it's a fucking scam. You can't film them. And then as I was filming, one guy was like, oh, no filming. I was like, ah! And I panicked and ran. And then what was weird is, because it's illegal what they do, the reason why it's all on the sheets is so they just pick the sheet up and run. You know, they're not allowed to be there for very long. Police come by and they shoo them on. All right, number four. Come in for tea and help me write a letter. Well, that sounds like your death. While in Morocco, someone tried this travel scam on me. I was walking out of a convenience store when a guy struck up a conversation. Finding out I was from New York, he said he had a cousin who lived there. Well, he might know him. And wanted to know if I could come to his shop to write a postcard for him. That's weird. The goal here was to get me in the shop, maybe give me some tea and then pressure me into buying something. This uses the psychological principle of reciprocity. He gave me tea. He was nice to me. So soon I'll feel socially obliged to buy something. To avoid this, don't follow people to a second location or believe they suddenly have a cousin who happens to live exactly where you do. It's also weird, like, oh my God, and my cousin lives in the same street as you. Why don't you come and we can both write him a postcard? Who the fuck does that? Oh, here we go. Five. Free bracelets, rosemary, or anything they can put on you. Yes, I fell victim to this. In this scam, common in Europe, oh, that's where we were, a friendly person, and they were very friendly, will approach you for a quick chat, then place a bracelet around your wrist or hat on your head, or give you a little sprig of rosemary. Once you have it on your person, they will demand money. When you refuse, they will begin to cause a scene in the hopes that you would rather give them some money than be embarrassed. Oh, how wrong that stupid asshole was. Don't allow anyone to put anything on your body and be extremely wary of accepting anything for free. If they put something on you, simply take it off, give it back to them, and be firm about it. Then walk away and move on with your day. They won't chase you. Another common variation of this scheme is the fake monk. Oh, yeah, who doesn't talk. You'll find this one everywhere in New York City, Europe, and Asia. The monk will put a Buddhist bracelet around your wrist and then ask for a donation. Real Buddhist monks don't wander around the streets hawking cheap bracelets. Yeah, that happened in New York. So always ignore any monks. Yeah, and I felt bad. I was like, oh, he's trying to earn money to live. So what happened with us in Europe is a man was giving out roses, so we thought. Do you want a rose for your beautiful lady? To my brother and his girlfriend, now wife. Why she married him, I don't know. Because he was like, nope. Nope. No, thanks. And anyway, poor Jenny, the guy then just like shoves this rose into Jenny's hand. And it's like, and you don't want to be rude. People are like, well, if it's free, because we're like, how much? It's like, it's free, free. All right. So she took it. And now he was like, and money? Well, like, hang on. You said it was free. And then when we give it back, no. No. And Tim is like, I don't have any money. Gets out his wallet. Oh, I'm like, fucking hell, mate. It's full of cash. And then I think he ends up putting it on the ground and we walk away. And he did cause a scene. It was very funny. But I was like, oh, piss off. Don't want your fucking rose. Don't lie to us. This is number six, the spill on your clothes. There you are, minding your own business, and someone spills something on you. It ruins your day, but accidents happen, right? They are profusely sorry and offer to clean it up, dabbing the stain and apologizing. Oh, while you are all flustered, they are picking your pocket. Oh, it's genius. By the time you realize what's happened, they're gone. Very common in Europe. Beware of people encroaching on your person if it's not a crowded area already. If this happens, push people away and clean it up yourself. Another variation on this is the poo shoe. Particularly common in India, this game involves someone squirting animal poop on your shoe when you're not looking. When you notice, they help you find someone to clean your shoe for an exorbitant fee. Conversely, sometimes you would just get pickpocketed while looking down at your shoe to see what happened. Jesus. 7. Motorbike scam. You rent a motorbike and spend the day exploring. Who rents a fucking motorbike? Death trap. When you bring it back, the owner demands an additional payment or expensive repairs because there is some damage you didn't know about. Oh. I see this scam a lot in Southeast Asia and other developing regions of the world. To avoid this, take photos of the bike first and document any previous damage. Yeah. Number 8. The flirtatious local. Oh, I would fall for this. I would. Absolutely. For anyone that was showing me any ounce of attention, I'd be like, here, take all my money. You arrive in a new country and head to a bar where a beautiful local comes up to you for a chat. You can't believe your luck. You have some drinks and a pretty good conversation and go to a bar or club that they have suggested. However, after a wild night and lots of drinks, the woman disappears and you're forced to pay an overpriced bill with some really big guys bearing down on you to make sure that you pay. Or worse, you get drugged and wake up completely robbed of everything. The simple solution is to be wary of attractive locals who promise to take you to the world's best club. But see, like, doesn't that just remove the fun out of travelling? Like, what I'm reading from this is, hi, are you thinking of travelling to a different country? Don't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone. Don't look at anyone. Don't trust them. Don't go anywhere. Stay in your hotel room. Don't get a taxi. Don't eat at a restaurant. Don't talk to a local. Just hide. Take a bag and hide in it for the 2 weeks duration of your holiday. This is all this article says to me. Do you want to explore Europe? Then don't, because you will be scammed. Number 9, your attraction is closed for lunch. Oh, that's a clever idea. As mentioned, this is what happened to me and I fell for it. A friendly local approaches and informs you that the attraction you want to visit is closed for any number of reasons. Religious ceremonies, a public holiday. Then they'll guide you to a different attraction or shop where you're pressured to purchase something or pay a lot for entry. To avoid this, find the main entrance or ticket counter and see for yourself. Also, keep in mind that most attractions don't close for lunch. I watched a clip of a guy who was in Egypt, and he'd been to Egypt just so many times before, so he knew all the tricks. A lot of people will stand around the pyramids and I don't know what he was saying, because he sort of walks and he's explaining what all these people are doing. He's like, don't listen to them. One guy's blowing a whistle at him and pointing, and he's like, this guy's no one. He's just blowing a whistle because a whistle seems like an important thing people have. And I'm like, oh, if someone was blowing a whistle and pointing at me, I would do whatever they say. But it's like, it's just a fucking whistle. It's like if they had on, it's like when people have on like a high-vis vest, I'm like, well, they're obviously in a position of power. Yes, what's that? I can't go this way. But like, they're wearing a neon piece of cloth. In what world does that guarantee you that this person knows exactly what they're doing? Get a neon piece of cloth and a whistle, I'm like, you may as well be a police officer. But I wish I could explain more about the guy in Egypt, because he was explaining, they say, don't walk here, and then they fine you, I think it was. Oh, you can't go there, it's a fine, it's a $5 fine, you know. Or it was just so full on, and he was there for 5 minutes, and about 9 different people tried to scam him. And because he'd been there for so long, he just knew exactly that it was bullshit. And I was like, okay, well, I'm never going to the pyramids. I think the best thing to do is to just not have a wallet, a phone, money. Just go. I mean, like, I actually don't have anything. Give us your money. Well, I don't have anything. Then I guess they stab you. So maybe that's not a great idea. Anyway, it's number 10. This one's called the found ring. An innocent-looking person picks up a ring on the ground and asks if you dropped it. When you say no, the person looks at the ring closely, then shows you a mark proving that it's pure gold. He or she offers to sell it to you for a better price. They make some money and you get some gold you can resell. It's win-win. You think it's a good deal, but you find out it's fake when you try to sell it at home. Oh. Who would... Yeah, right. Okay. The fake petition. Oh, God. I fell for this one. This is the one that I fell for. Oh, man. This is exactly what happened. You're at a popular site and a woman or a kid, often pretending to be deaf or a student, yes, will try to get you to sign a petition. Yes. You don't know what they are saying. Correct. And to end the awkwardness, you sign the petition, hoping they will go away. Abso-fucking-lutely. But the petitioner then demands a cash donation. At best, anyone who falls for this scam is out some money. At worst, this is what happened. They are pickpocketed while fighting with the petitioner. I wasn't essentially fighting with them. They come up to you, they shove a clipboard between you and them. So suddenly you can't see what they're doing with their hands. And so you're holding this petition and they're like, just, I don't know, picking your pockets. And I couldn't understand a word she was saying. It was to help. It was to help get the deaf kids to, you know, deaf kids weren't allowed to go on the Eiffel Tower. I was like, oh, they're not? Of course they are. It was so dumb. But petition to allow the deaf children to go to the top of the Eiffel Tower. I'm like, I will sign that. But at one point I was like, I don't know if I like giving my contact information. So I wrote my fucking dad's contact information. Like, I could just make something up, Christian. No, I put my father. Poor dad. And while this was going on, my brothers were like, oh, Christian, you're such an idiot. And they came and stood either side of me so that no one could take what was in my pockets. And then my brothers shooed them away and then they got really angry at me. And I was like, I'm just very trusting. It happened twice, actually. It happened again in Naples, the train station. Someone came up to me with a petition and I was like, oh, I'm not falling for this again. And then for some reason I'm holding the fucking clipboard. Number 12. Oh, God. This one's called The Drug Deal Gone Bad. This scam is common in many, many developing countries, especially those with a lively party scene. You're in a popular tourist area and someone offers you drugs. You say yes, and before you know it, a cop is on the scene. They threaten to arrest you unless you pay a fine. Oh, yeah. Caught red-handed, you'll probably pay the bribe rather than go to jail.
Complete Dribble with Christian Hull.
13. The wrong change. This happens a lot in countries where bills look similar to each other. People tend to look at colours first. Oh, yes. So when you get a pile of change that is the same colour, you think you got the right change. But they really gave you the wrong bills, hoping you won't notice until after you rush out. This is what I don't understand. Australia, high five to your monetary system. Bills are different fucking colours, but obvious different colours. In the UK, it's like light blue, dark blue, red, green. But they're all, yeah, like it's shit. Like it's, yeah, you can probably still tell the difference. America, everything is exactly the same. Green, 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 green. Like, why? It's so dumb. Australia, we have like lobster red, pineapple yellow. $100 is like lime green. $5 is pink. They're so categorically different. Like so obviously different. You could glance down and glance up so quickly and you could tell if just with some cash spread out on the table exactly what was there. Well done, Australia. Number 14 is the switcheroo. This happens all over the world and mostly with shirts, carpets and rugs. What? And antiques. You're at a store and you see a designer item at a bargain price. Maybe they got it wholesale. After some haggling, the owner agrees to sell it to you, but while you aren't paying attention, he gives you a knockoff. What's this one? Child and injured beggars. This game can be found pretty much everywhere. An injured person or a young child will approach you, ask for money. This is a tough one. Yeah, because you feel compelled. Unfortunately, a lot of children have been roped into gangs and collect the money on their behalf. It's really sad. And then the last one is a fake Wi-Fi hub. These days, everyone is always on the lookout for free Wi-Fi. One common scam hackers will do is create a free unlocked Wi-Fi hub. And then once you've logged into it, they steal your data. Oh my God, that's terrifying. Like all of that. I don't want to travel. I just don't want to travel. I need to go back to bed. I can feel my fever coming back on. Anyways, thanks so much for your company. It sounded very ABC. Thanks for your company tonight. I'll be back tomorrow at 7:30 where we chat to the Prime Minister about the current economic crisis. I'm Lee Sales for 7:30 Report. I could do that. I reckon I could. No, I couldn't do that.